From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 14th day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Frank Lucas of the House Ag Committee believes the Super Committee will spare food nutrition programs from the budget-cutting knife, but that will point them to paring the rest of the USDA budget. And the price of pork in China is on the rise, up 0.7% last week. It's the fifth week in a row the price of pork in that nation has gone up. Pork has led the inflation rate higher in the PRC. Dave Dickey will have more details a bit later in the program. And as we finish up our half hour today, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December contract in the wheat at $7.04.5, up 2.5 cents, but July down a penny and a quarter at $7.61.75. December corn futures up 1.25 at $7.24.25. March at $7.38 in the corn pit, up a penny and a half. In the May, $7.45.5, up 1.75. July futures $7.48.75, up 1.75. September contract up 8.5 at $6.93.25. December of next year at 6.51.75, up 9.75. Soybean futures finished the November contract 9 cents lower for the harvest month at $13.82.75. January 13.93.75, down 8.75. The March $14.75, 8.75 lower. May contract $14.03.75, down 9. July at $14.10.5, 9.25 lower. And August soybeans at $14 even, down 8.5. Next year's November at $13.68.75 for the new crop then, down 5.5 cents. Bean meal futures on the day at $3.58.80, up 80 cents. Bean oil futures at $56.78. down 49 cents. Live cattle contracts, October futures, $1.27.5 higher at $120.87.5, and feeders finished at $136.35, up $147.5. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets finished like on this afternoon. The nearby contract in the gold at $1,820.30 an ounce, down $7.20 for the day. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading at 11,155, just about 60 points higher. The S&P at 1191 is up 19.6 on the day. The dollar at 76.85, down 0.14. Crude oil futures in the October at $88.74 a barrel, down $1.47. Heating oil or diesel fuel up just about 0.9 cents at $2.94.5, and the gasoline on the RBOB down a penny and 6 cents at $2.72.5. Natural gas at 6.3 cents higher at $4.04.3. And the ethanol futures at $2.84, down 5.2 cents. The weather forecast looks like this for the Urbana-Champaign area. This afternoon, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy. A high of just 68 degrees, north winds at about 9 miles an hour. The gust of 15 tonight, the National Weather Service says, mostly cloudy skies. A low of 41, north winds at 10 to 13. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 62. Tomorrow night, cloudy, a low of 39 in the area. Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 66. And Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 45 degrees. Saturday should show us mostly sunny skies, a high of 70. And Saturday night, partly cloudy, with a low of 51 degrees. By the time we get to Sunday, we'll see partly sunny skies, a high near 75. Sunday night, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, and a low of 59. Monday, showers and thunderstorms, a high of 78. Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 61. And on Tuesday, partly sunny skies, the high near 80 degrees.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. In a few moments, we'll bring Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, into our conversation. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated is on the phone line now. He's in an airport. Are you in Denver, Drew? Where are you at the moment?
On my way to Fargo, North Dakota to do a farm show up there.
No, it'll be colder up there, but I think that's mostly what we want to hear about is tonight there appears to be some potential for freeze and frost. Exactly where and what type?
Yes, we will see significant freezes occur tonight from the eastern two-thirds of the Dakotas into Wisconsin, reaching down into the northernmost counties in Iowa. Now, most of those freezes in Iowa will be light, probably 30 to 32. But the temperatures up there across portions of eastern sections of the Dakotas into the heart of Minnesota will probably drop down to possibly as cold as 25, with most temperatures in that 27 to 30 degree range. It will be cold enough to cause some damage, some significant damage to some of the soybeans and corn that are immature across that region there. The temperatures in the rest of the Midwest will be nearly this cold, but we do expect to see some damage in that northwestern part of the belt. As the cold air mass goes into the Great Lakes region on Friday, we'll see some frost occur across many areas in Michigan. A couple of light freezes will be possible there, maybe 30 to 31 degrees at the coldest. And then the rest of the eastern belt will see temperatures ramp up pretty quickly, going from the middle 30s in northern Illinois, northern Indiana, and northern Ohio, all the way up into the middle 40s down the Ohio River.
So this evening, just to recap, will you expect it to be a season ender in portions of the Northwest, and how much of the soybean crop do you think would be impacted?
Yeah, I think that it will end the growing season for most of the Dakotas and for Minnesota and probably the majority of Wisconsin. As far as the impact on soybeans, I think every crop up there will be adversely impacted in some level. But the crop that is probably most vulnerable to a shattering situation where we actually lose the crop, probably only about 10 to 15% of that region up there would be vulnerable to such conditions. So for the most part, I don't think we're going to lose a lot of crop, but we're going to lose a lot of quality up there.
Thank you so much, Drew, and have a good flight. Be safe.
Thank you.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Wednesday afternoon and joins us from, I believe, the Denver airport on the phone line from Oakland, Illinois, is Paul Cooley now. Thanks, Paul, for waiting patiently.
Well, no problem, Todd.
Well, tell me what you're hearing from the meteorologist you talked to about the cold weather for this evening.
Well, one's going to England for a wedding and going into eye surgery after that, and the other one's on vacation, but I think the one that we did look at freeze notice at the noon hour basically indicated that he was going with the colder model, and that covers, I think, the northern part of Iowa. This morning, I thought it was actually a little warmer. Per se, but some of the people said it was actually, they thought, a little colder in Canada. I think the big factor here is that we have known about this for 10 days. This is probably one of the better forecasted cold snaps in modern commodity trading, so it's pretty well anticipated. There's a few replanted beans in Iowa that it might affect. Unfortunately, it slows the drying down on corn. And most of the people, with a big 1.25 move up in corn and 9 lower in beans, I think everybody kind of shrugged it off to the sidelines. The real problem is that we are to harvest. Yields are probably a little better than anticipated, and export demand is absolutely horrible. We're getting undercut in the wheat feed markets. And the marketplace is basically struggling with the concept of what are we going to do with this high-priced corn and soybeans when nobody in the world wants to buy very much of it at this time.
Well, do you think consumption is really in demand, I suppose, rather than consumption, but demand is cut back? Or is it, as Daryl Good pointed out to us earlier in the week, that the marketplace is just making sure that demand stays in place with this smaller crop? And there's a difference between the two, because one of them means it doesn't come back. The other is kind of waiting and pacing things out.
Well, the big difference is last year, of course, we had this horrible crop in Russia. And then we are all of a sudden, you know, saw a shortfall in the U.S. crop. And basically there was nobody out there to compete against the U.S. demand. The big factor here is I'm mystified with how China is able to regulate and wait on purchasing soybeans. And supposedly they have a record corn crop coming on, but they also have record corn prices they're faced with. So it is a mysterious thing to me, but the big factor is that we're getting Canadian wheat into the U.S. Whether that's legal or not, Todd, I don't know, but they are. But we are seeing feed wheat here, and my general impression is that, I can easily see 680 on December corn sometime during the height of harvest. But we also know that the market can snap back pretty quick after everything's put to bed.
We appreciate you taking the time with us today,
Paul. Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report from WillAg.org and the University of Illinois. You can find us online, of course, at WILLAG.org or on our new web app for mobile devices at m.willag.org. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas says that the 12-member supercommittee trying to reduce the federal deficit will likely spare federal nutrition programs from the budget-cutting knife. However, if nutrition programs are not cut, Lucas says that, quote, concentrates everything on the rest of the USDA budget. The supercommittee has the authority to cut food stamps along with other entitlement programs as it tries to cut the deficit. Under the debt ceiling deficit reduction bill Congress passed in late summer, food stamps along with Social Security and most Medicare payments are protected from cuts if the supercommittee is unable to reach agreement. China's pork prices, a key driver of inflation, rose 0.7% in the week ending September 11th. That was the fifth consecutive weekly rise in pork prices and represented an acceleration from weekly increases of 0.4% and 0.3% in the weeks ending September 4th and August 28th. Spikes in pork prices have consistently driven up Chinese consumer inflation, although the meat only accounts for 3% of China's consumer price index basket. U.S. beef exports to Canada are up significantly this year, setting a new monthly record in June and then topping that in July. The value of U.S. beef exports to Canada reached $131.3 million in July, which moved Canada into the top spot for U.S. exports, beating out Mexico. U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner today says that the United States must take the paradoxical step of spending more money now to improve its long-term fiscal position, including passing a substantial jobs package. Geithner told a forum that he considers himself a fiscal hawk, but crises require extraordinary spending to limit economic damage that will hurt long-term revenues. And the Commerce Department today reported that growth in U.S. retail sales stalled in August. Sales were unchanged from a month earlier. Sales growth during July was revised downward to 0.3%. Consumer spending accounts for about 2/3 of U.S. economic activity. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program you can pick up off our website at willag.org after about 6 p.m. on Friday evenings. Our guest this week, by the way, will be from Cargill's Eddyville Corn Milling Plant in Iowa. Ray Jenkins will be with us for Commodity Week. We'll post it at about 6 p.m. Friday evening at willag.org. That website and our other options for hearing our program are going to be pretty important over the last couple of weeks of September, as they'll be retrenching the guy wires on our home radio station. That's WILL AM 580 in Urbana-Champaign. We'll go to low power, and you probably won't be able to hear us, but you can pick us up on one of our affiliate stations live during the 2 o'clock hour on WGFA out of Watsika, WHPO out of Hoopston, or WHOW out of Clinton, Illinois, along with KEI in Kewaunee, Illinois. In the 5 o'clock hour at 5:30, WTIM out of Taylorville rebroadcasts this program, so you can listen there, or you can always listen online at willag.org, or on your mobile device at m.willag.org, or you can just dial the number 217-333-3434. We update our voicemail at 10:15 and 3:15 daily with either the opening or closing numbers and a bit of analysis. We do expect our home station to power down on Monday of next week.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. In studio with us, Farm Management Specialist for the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, Gary Schnittke. He has just penned an article for the Farm Doc Daily website that takes a look at cash rents and the potential for setting those cash rents this fall using a couple of different sources. Gary, thank you so much for taking the time. Tell me, please, which sources you use, and shall we start with the National Agricultural Statistics Service cash rent survey?
Yeah, last Friday, or September 9th, NAS released its 2011 cash rents, county cash rents, and so we've got that as well posted at the Farm Doc website, but that gives a pretty good feel for where the average cash rent is in the county for this year. And just to give you a feel for that, that varies a lot around the state, but the highest cash rent is in Macon County, $260 an acre. So that would be the average for 2011 in Macon County. And the lowest is in Williamson County, southern Illinois, at $74 an acre.
So they can use the NAS to take a look at what cash rents were like for the current year. And then there's another set of data that was released during Farm Progress Show.
Yep, Farm Progress Show, Illinois Society of Professional Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers, do a mid-year survey in which they ask their professional farm managers what rents look like. And just to give you a feel in for land, farmland of good quality, which will have a corn yield between 170 and 190 bushels per acre, they're listing the 2011 rent at 285, and they expect that to go up to 321 for the 2012 year. So,
what do you think a landowner should do, and maybe a producer should do, with those two bits of information when they pull them in?
Yeah, they have those two bits of information will get you in the ballpark, but it's still, you know, rents will vary from parcel to parcel. The other thing that I think people should do is look at a budget for their particular parcel of land and get a, you know, look at what expected prices look like and yields for that parcel, because yields on any any piece of land can vary quite dramatically within a county. So, and lower yielding land will have lower rents. So look at those two pieces and then talk it out between the landlord and tenant. One thing I would say, though, is that if you're looking at these averages and particularly where the professional farm managers are going, they're building in above $5 corn to those cash rents, which may work next year because we're still expecting corn prices above $5 right now. But when we see corn and soybean prices come down, it's likely that those rents will have to be adjusted down as well.
Thanks so much, Gary.
You're welcome.
Gary Schnitke is an Extension Farm Management Specialist at the University of Illinois and joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
We're joined now by phone from Delphi, Indiana, at the Climbers facility that belongs to the Andersons, by Matt Kunisch. Matt, how are you doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Pretty good. How's it going?
It's going very well here. Have you started taking in grain or oil seeds very much this week?
We have, on new corn at least. As far as beans go, they're still working towards the processors. Processors are still showing a premium. I don't think that lasts very long, but for this week at least, that's where they're going.
Tell me about the quality, quantity, and type of corn crop that you're bringing in.
To be honest with you, quality's been okay. There not really been any concerns there. Haven't seen any damage from the field coming. Moisture's been running, mid-20s, low-20s. And actually the yields are kind of to be expected depending on what kind of dirt you had. Some of the lighter soil that we expected to be pretty bad is actually coming in a little better than what we expected. As far as beans go, they have been good.
And basis in the area for corn, I imagine, has widened back out?
No, not quite yet. We just haven't seen enough movement. For the most part, we've had a few guys going for a few days, but I would say most guys have not started or may have just started just a little bit to open up a field. But I would say with the rain coming here, most guys are going to start Monday. Hasn't affected basis yet. Everybody still needs to fill space. I don't see that happening for another couple weeks at least.
Margins on the ethanol plant still running well?
Running good for now.
You don't sound as confident that that's going to stay the case in the future.
In the future, obviously the feed side is going to play a major role on the DDGs, but also natural gas as we come into the winter months. We'll definitely have to keep an eye on that.
Are you telling me that you're concerned that there won't be enough livestock around to take in all the DDGs that you're producing?
I mean that could be an issue. Yeah.
Okay,
and herds are getting smaller just with prices, but we'll see what happens.
And what are your bids for the day?
Delphi corn, 719, Climbers corn, 724, and Delphi beans at 1350.
Hey, Matt, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Matt Kunisch is with the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Joined us here on this Closing Market Report edition for Wednesday afternoon. We'll say so long to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple minutes when we talk with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
It's Eat a Hoagie Day. It's also National Cream-Filled Donut Day. Hanson Gregory and American claimed to have invented the ring-shaped donut in 1847 aboard a lime trading ship when he was only 16 years old. Gregory was dissatisfied with the greasiness of donuts twisted into various shapes and with the raw center of regular donuts. He claimed to have punched a hole in the center of the dough with the ship's tin pepper box and later taught the technique to his mother. On this day in agricultural history in 1752, the calendar in Britain and the American colonies jumped from September 2nd to September 14th as the Gregorian calendar was officially adopted, correcting an 11-day discrepancy that existed with most of the rest of the world, which had adopted the Gregorian calendar 170 years earlier. In 1849, Ivan Petrovich Pavlov was born. Pavlov's work with dogs actually started as a study of digestion. He performed a series of experiments on dogs to show how digestive secretions are regulated. Pavlov noted that dogs began to salivate if they were able to see, smell, or taste food. Pavlov suspected that digestion must be partially controlled by sensory stimuli, what he called a conditioned reflex. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago is here to look at the agricultural forecast. The big news is probably tonight across the Midwest, Mike, and the upper Midwest in particular. Some frost and freezes potentially. What can you tell me about those areas and whether it will happen or not?
Well, that is the big question, and that will have a large impact on the soybean crop in particular because only 15% of U.S. soybeans right now are dropping leaves. Once they're dropping leaves, they're kind of free from the risk of an early frost or freeze, but most soybeans are not included in that category, especially as you head to the north of Illinois. So what we're looking at right now is an unseasonably cold air mass across the northern plains, and that is dropping into the northwest corn belt. So for tonight, we're going to see lows in the mid-20s to mid-30s, across a large chunk of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, northern Iowa, and western Wisconsin. And some of that coldness will even extend southward into parts of Nebraska, central southern Iowa, and maybe even northwest Illinois by tomorrow morning. So we're watching that very closely. You can argue either way as to whether temperatures will get all the way into the 20s, which would be the worst-case scenario, or whether or not they'll stay a few degrees warmer and end up in the low 30s. We're siding with the colder scenario because if you look at humidity levels out in these areas, they've been rapidly dropping over the last 6 hours, which is one of the clues we've been looking for. And we think that'll be what ends up making for a pretty widespread frost and freeze across these areas tomorrow morning. So we'll have to wait and see how that works out.
If I remember correctly, not only does it need to get that cold, but I think to about 28 degrees for a couple of hours in order to end the season. Do you foresee that at this point?
Well, that is a definite possibility for a lot of these areas. In a worst-case scenario, if you were to end the growing season early for these areas, that would include about 20% of your U.S. soybean crop. You look at North Dakota and South Dakota, that's about 8% of your soybeans. Minnesota is about 10%. Let's say 5% for northern Iowa, you start adding up all those numbers, and you realize that this is a big event, or should I say potentially a big event. We really have to wait and see how this all pans out. But right now, it looks pretty good for this type of scenario. And then the big question is, what does it mean? And that would be a better question for an agronomist, because it gets pretty complicated after that.
Turn your attention to the hard red winter wheat belt, where they have been suffering through serious drought for quite some time. Are there potential rainfalls?
Well, it looks like the biggest rain event in several months is on the way for a large chunk of the drought-stricken areas of Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and Colorado. And this does include a very important part of the hard red winter wheat belt. Planting usually begins right about now, but it's been a very large concern that it will be difficult to plant without a big rain event. And it looks like the big rain event is coming. It should start right now and then get going all the way through the weekend. And we're looking for high coverage of half-inch to one-inch amounts in these states. And some areas could even see around 1.5 to 2 inches in localized areas. That's not enough to end the drought, but it is enough to improve conditions for planting. Next week looks nice and warm, so we think that things will improve out there. But keep in mind, more rain's needed. One big rain does not break a drought.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome.
Mike Tenora with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.